I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Las Vegas, New Mexico. The Galenas River was devastated by the largest fire in the state's history, the Hermit's Peak Calf Canyon Fire in 2022. The fire ravaged more than 342,000 acres, including a majority of the upper Rio Galenas watershed. The fire destroyed more than 900 structures, including 300 homes. Subsequent floods contaminated watersheds and resulted in drinking water emergencies and mandatory water cuts. 2 years later, the surrounding communities and the environment continue to experience long-term impact from flooding, water quality degradation, loss of vegetation, and decreased soil stability and siltation caused by the Hermit's Peak Calf Canyon fire. Come along and join Leah Knutson, executive director of the nonprofit Hermit's Peak Watershed Alliance, with a mission to foster land stewardship to ensure the long-term vitality of the region's watersheds surrounding Las Vegas, New Mexico.
My name is Leah Knutson. I'm the founder and director of the Hermit's Peak Watershed Alliance. We're a local 501c3 nonprofit organization that's been around here for 15 years.
What spurred you to start the nonprofit?
I'm actually a wildlife biologist by training, and we moved to the area about 30 years ago, and there were not any conservation or natural resource management community organizations. Mm-hmm. And I got my kids raised and moved on, and so I wanted to go back to work doing the kinds of things that I love.
What was the mission that you saw right in front of you that to make a difference, make a change, and transform?
A community is only as strong as their water, especially in New Mexico. Water is the center of everything, and it connects me to my wildlife background. Mm-hmm. Of course, without clean, cold, and abundant water, we all suffer. And so my goal was to connect our community to our water supply so that we would all understand what our watersheds need to be healthy and how we can play a really vital part in supporting that watershed health.
And you don't have any major rivers like the Missouri.
Oh, this is our major river. What is that, like 3 feet across, four feet across? This is our water supply right here that you're looking at.
So in New Mexico, where we are, water is sacred, literally.
Absolutely. Every drop, either water in rivers or in wetlands or underground. And so in New Mexico, we need to make sure that water goes underground because that's where it stays cool, it gets clean, and it doesn't evaporate. You know, if it's in a wetland or a reservoir or a lake, a lot of it goes up in the air and we don't get to use it. So we want to keep it on the ground.
The water that's traversing past us right now, what's its source?
Well, the source of most rivers is high in the mountains, and our water mostly comes from snowmelt and the monsoons. But it begins with snowmelt and trickles through 57 square miles of land and eventually ends up here in Las Vegas in the Galenas River.
And you have a couple reservoirs that were built, right?
We're not sure exactly when they were built, probably in the 40s, 50s. Bradner and Peterson Reservoir, that is where we store water to supply our drinking water for Las Vegas. But all that water comes from high in the mountains. And so our goal is to make sure the source of the water on people's private lands and national forests gets cared for properly there so that you need less treatment in the reservoirs and more of it gets stored in the upper watershed underground.
Do you have wells that people dig too?
Yeah, we definitely have wells, you bet. And those wells are only as good as the water that it trickles in from those wells underground. Mm-hmm. And plants, you know, people don't really connect this very well, but it's all the plants in a watershed, the trees, the grasses, and the flowers that drive that water underground and recharge our aquifer so that those wells remain strong.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back. You had a major fire that almost came to the edge of town.
Actually, you 2 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was pretty significant. 341,000 acres burned in San Miguel and Mora counties. And our place burned as well. So I experienced it firsthand. Overnight, we saw these beautiful ponderosa pine forests and higher elevation forests burn. And when we came back to our house, as most people, we saw a charred landscape. But then it was time to see that even after a fire, ecosystems rebuild.
Right.
Three years later, it's looking pretty good.
But that's a point where human intervention and massaging of the earth helps by people like you.
You bet. You know, we can nudge it in the right direction.
Talk to us about some of the active things that you did post-fire to mitigate.
Yeah. The first thing we did is recognize the role of plants. We seeded with native grasses, and you get more plants on the ground, and it stops erosion. So the first problem after the fire was all the soils were eroding like crazy, ending up in the rivers and damaging our water supply. That's a whole story.
And you have siltation.
So you have lots of siltation in the river, you bet. So the first thing we did is we got as much seed on the ground as we could, and other agencies did the same thing. Then the next thing we moved into doing is preventing or repairing stream channels from erosion. Now, all that sediment gets down into the stream channels, then it moves downstream. Mm-hmm. So we built lots of structures in rivers, in ephemeral channels. Those are the channels that are dry most of the time. They only have water in them during a storm event. We build log and rock structures in those channels to hold that sediment as high up in the watershed as we can.
Interesting. And this takes manpower, people power.
It sure does.
And you harness the kids in the high school.
And volunteers.
Yeah, community volunteers.
Yeah, the first year we didn't have a budget. We didn't have a budget for this. So we had volunteer days every weekend, you bet. And then after that, we decided this is a more serious effort. Mm-hmm. So we need to hire staff. But nobody knows how to do this. Very few people know how to take a log and build an erosion control structure with it, or rock that are on the site. And we only do nature-based restoration using materials that are on the site.
Right here.
Like right here. We moved this log right here, and it's providing fish habitat. The fish can go and hide underneath that log, and it's protecting the stream bank. Same with this rock that we're sitting on. So we put rocks and logs back in the river so that it protects the stream banks, prevents it from eroding, and creates some habitat at the same time. This is a much more stable situation, and all of these were built before the fire. Mm-hmm. They're still here. They didn't go away.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And then you harnessed the high school kids.
Absolutely. We got YCC grants last year, and we have another one this year, and we hire the local Robertson and West Las Vegas high school kids, and we are teaching them right now how to build all these structures. They're going to work for us all summer long. We have five of them that came back from last year.
That's so cool.
We didn't burn them out too bad. Because it's hard work.
Are some of the high school kids, is this a life-changing experience for them where it might change their direction in life after they get out of high school?
You know, I sure hope so. I think a lot of them are saying, wow, we can work outside doing things we love and actually get paid for it. That's pretty cool. I hope it's life-changing. I think they're seeing things that in a very different way than they've ever seen before. And the whole new career of watershed restoration is going to be so much more important down the road with climate change, with fires, with hurricanes and tornadoes. We're going to need more of this to make our landscape more resilient to all these disturbances. And we need a bunch of people that know how to do it.
Going forward, what's on your hit list? What's on your dream sheet? What do you hope to accomplish?
Oh, that's a really good question. I really hope to take every stream that has been eroding as a consequence of the fire and build it back into a place that it could be, like the place we're in right now, with verdant vegetation on the banks and ready to show us what a healthy watershed is. But after the fire, we put all of our time into restoration and recovery. I want to start doing some education again, because a lot of people don't really understand how we interact with the watershed and how we can rebuild it to be healthier than it was. You know, in the 60s, we did a lot of damage. 50s, 60s, we did a lot of damage to rivers and watersheds, and we need to bring them back, but people need to understand what that really means and how it can help us.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to learn more about your world. Where would you direct us?
We have a pretty nice website. It's at hermitspeakwatersheds.org, or you can just Google Hermits Peak Watershed Alliance and probably will come up. But there are lots of resources on there, some videos that you can learn more about the work we do with videos and post-fire recovery. There's a lot of information on there. Or you could certainly give us a call, use the email contact information on our website. My name is Leah Knutson, and I'm the founder and executive director of the Hermits Peak Watershed Alliance.
Awesome. Leah, thank you so much.
Sure. You bet, Tom. It's been fun. It's been really fun to be here by the banks of the river while we're talking. That's the best.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from the real Las Vegas in New Mexico, sitting by the river.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.